This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you. I love to spend this time with you. Did you hear me say that? It's so true. I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday. I hope you know that. I really do, because it brings great joy to be able to use these airwaves for the honor and glory of God, and it brings me great joy to spend that time with you. So we always like to hear from you here at Women of Grace Live, and I'm going to give you a couple of ways in which you can do that that do not involve the phone. How about that? Well, it kind of involves the phone, but not live. So first of all, I want to recommend that you send an email to us with your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration, your word of encouragement. And you can email us at womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's Women of Grace, plural on the women, all one word, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. On one of the days when we do a special email mailbag day, we will get to your question and we'll answer it on the air. That means you have to listen all the time. But we're available to you Monday through Friday right here on this same station at this same time, discussing those issues of importance to your life and faith. So do listen to us, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Send your questions to us that way. Another way, you can leave them for us on the listener comment line. Now, we get to those questions too. And, you know, it was so interesting. I got to tell you this. This is a little story. I just think it's so fascinating because one day we heard from somebody who called into the program and he said that on one of our listener comment line days, he heard himself asking the question. And so he had left the comment and there he was. And the day that I was getting to that question that he left, he turned on the radio, as he said he does Monday through Friday. And there he heard his question being asked by himself and he heard the answer and the response. So I just thought that was, you know, one of those little confirmations of the Lord for him personally, but also a confirmation for us as well. And maybe a confirmation for you and maybe also an invitation by the Lord to you to leave a question for us at our listener comment line. That number is 205-795-5773. That's 205-795-5773. We certainly do invite you to join us in that way. It's always just great to be together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no better thing to do than to have holy conversation together. I want to tell you about a great book. This book is available for you at EWTN's religious catalog, ewtnrc.com. I do have to tell you that Women of Grace published this book, and we published it for a reason. It's a republish, really. It's a republish of a classic written by Father Emil Newbert, and it's called Queen of Militants. And I love this book for oh so many reasons. It's really spoken to me in my spiritual life, and it's really helped for me to become that which God intended for me to be by way of my baptism and my confirmation. And what is that? A soldier for Jesus Christ. Our Blessed Lady wants to form us up to be this holy army proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ in this our day and time. Amen? That's the truth of it. And this day and time is hungry for the Word of God. I'm not really sure that this day and time knows it's hungry for the Word of God. You know, it's searching for God in all of these places. We see all of these strange things happening and people searching for happiness and fulfillment. But, you know, in truth, you know, people are searching for truth. But, you know, St. Edith Stein says this about truth. She says, anybody that's searching for truth is already searching for God, whether they know it or not. So you see people trying to find joy, trying to find happiness, trying to find truth. Where do you find those? You only find them in the one who is the truth, and that happiness and joy that comes through relationship with him. It's the only way. Otherwise, you know, we are like these explorers that are always exploring but never arriving at the hurrah moment. You know what I'm saying? They're always looking and searching, but there's no knowledge that's really being grasped by them. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, talks about this in his one letter, you know, in really in reference to women. And he's talking about the way in which these false prophets, false teachers worm their way into the homes of silly women who are always seeking knowledge but never arriving at the truth. Isn't that incredible? That's our day and time. It's not just women, though, that are letting these false prophets and these false teachers into their midst. No, it's men, too. So all of that being said, this book, Queen of Militants, helps you. It helps you to arrive at your destination, but it also helps you to be the soldier for Christ in a day and time when people are hungry for his word and just don't know it. The name of the book is Queen of Militants, Queen of Militants by Father Emil Newbert. It's available for you at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. You can go out there and you can order a copy of this book, and I would order copies for all of your friends. Frankly, we're having trouble, keeping up with the orders for it. It's been that popular. And so we've gone through a number of printings already, and we'll be going back to the printer soon. So EWTN's religious catalog has them available for you, EWTNRC.com. It is called Queen of Militants. Queen of Militants by Father Emil Newbert. So if we're going to set out into the deep here and be these soldiers for Jesus Christ, if we're truly going to be part of this army that Mary is raising up and has been raising up, then we need to get down with the virtues that we're going to need to be able to bring this along, right? And so what is that virtue that we're going to talk about for just a moment today? It is found on page 127, if you happen to have the book, chapter 6. Mary will teach you what? Perseverance. Our Blessed Lady wants to school you in perseverance. And Father Emil starts off this with this very true statement. He says, to be courageous is sometimes hard. Now I want to ask you, has God presented an opportunity to you where you were being called to live in the virtue of courage? Did he ask you to practice that virtue of fortitude in a moment? And did you find it hard? Sometimes it is. Just to speak the truth when a conversation is veering towards untruth can be very hard. But Father Newbert says, to be courageous is sometimes hard, but to persevere to the very end is 100 times harder. And so he's extolling us through the tutelage of Our Lady, which she shares with us through the words of great saints like St. Louis Grignon de Montfort, as well as Blessed Chaminade. He encourages us not to desert the battlefield. He teaches us how it is that Mary tutors us in this virtue of perseverance, and he teaches us why perseverance is very essential. And he tells us that if we are truly going to be these men and women who are presenting Jesus Christ to the world, we've got to work with this virtue in all of the ways in which God presents to us. And he says, expect difficulties and expect new failures, but persevere in confidence of the ultimate success. Even because of these difficulties and these failures, we are striving more and more to be simply the instrument of Christ and of his mother. I'm telling you, this book is chock full of wonderful words of wisdom that are going to help you enormously. So it's Queen of Militants. It's available for you at EWTN's religious catalog. EWTNRC.com is the way that you can get it. When we come back, we're going to be right here with you on Women of Grace Live, having that holy conversation that we love to do, always encouraging you to pick up your cross, to follow after the Lord, and know that that cross has a treasure of grace in it. We're going to mine those treasuries of grace when we come back together right here. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. And so, until we're on the other side of the break, I'm asking you to stay tuned, because we're coming right back.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to have you with us today. We certainly are inviting you to give us a call here. Let me give you that number. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there in social media land. I invite you to go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there and get your question put into that chat feature. Jeff Burson will dash on out there. He's our social media manager as well as our producer, and he'll put it up on the board for me. We'll be able to address your concern. Matt Kabinski is itching to take your call today. I have that on verifiable fact. Give him a call. 833 288 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Always looking forward to hearing from you. Well, some time ago on Women of Grace Television, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Paul Chaloux. And Dr. Paul Chaloux has written a great book. We get lots of questions here on the air and prayer requests from individuals who are experiencing suffering and want to know how to handle it or what they should do in the midst of it or asking for relief from it through the prayers that we pray on the air. And this is, I think, one of the hallmarks of Women of Grace Live. It's something that we certainly do open our hearts to, and we open our phone lines for those calls that come in where prayer is necessary. But Dr. Paul Chaloux has written this great book, I think, that is a tremendous opportunity for us to dig more deeply into this whole complex issue of suffering. And it has a title that I think, you know, is really captivating. And it reminds us of a great truth, and that is that every person is going to get a portion of the cross in his or her life. It's just unavoidable. Baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're baptized into the Paschal mystery that is his passion, death, and resurrection. And we know that resurrection only comes one way. It comes by way of passion and death. So all of us are invited into an exploration of the gift of suffering, and I do call it a gift, and all that it can bring us. And so Dr. Paul Chaloux's book is entitled Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. Now, this book is available for you out there at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. You can simply put in the title, Why All People Suffer. That's the main title. Or you can put in Dr. Paul Chaloux's name, and that's C-H-A-L-O-U-X. So either way, it's going to come up for you. And I'm really encouraging you to order a copy because I think it's going to answer a lot of the questions that you have. But it's also going to school you into the way in which your suffering can become your very blessing. And he knows all about that. So I'm very pleased to have him here with us today on Women of Grace Live. We will be taking your call. So I do want to encourage you to give us a call here at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm encouraging you to call early so we can absolutely be certain to be able to get to your question as you have it there. So let me introduce you to Dr. Paul Chaloux. Dr. Paul, welcome to Women of Grace Live. It's good to reconnect with you.
Yeah, thanks. It's really good to reconnect as well.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And, you know, when we did the television program together, I had shared with you, I'd love to get you on radio. It's taken us a little time to get you here. But I do want to let you know, friends, that you can watch the programs that we did with Dr. Paul Chaloux at our website, womenofgrace.com. Or you can actually order the DVDs if you want to share them with somebody from EWTN's Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. The name of the book, Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. And, you know, I think that we should begin with full disclosure here, Dr. Paul. You are a man who knows all about suffering. And so I thought perhaps you could share with us a little bit of your own testimony and how it is that God in his mercy and kindness has used that suffering in your own spiritual development and your growth in love of him.
Well, I never really saw it that way when I was going through it. But just to recap my story just a little bit, in 2015, I was working at IBM and was a catechist at St. Columba Parish in Wapeter Falls in Hopewell Junction, New York. And during that time, I had a dream that I needed to go teach the teachers. It was very vivid, and it convinced me that I needed to do that. I convinced my wife very easily that I needed to quit my job and go do that. And everything lined up for me to be able to do that. But when I did that, I moved, I transferred, I got accepted to the Catholic University of America and for a doctorate in catechetics. I moved, I sold my house, and then I got, just before I actually did the move, I had a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease with a doctor in New York who told me, it's not a death sentence, you have 5 to 10 years of functionality left. That's 6 years ago. Now, that wasn't the first time I'd been through a medical problem. I mean, I was born with congenital heart defect. I had heart surgery twice before I was 17. The first time I got hepatitis C with it and in transfusion. The second time I got paralyzed my arm for 6 weeks. And then these things kept leading to another. The hepatitis C treatments were very vigorous and made me sick for 6 months. And then in the last month of it, I lost 40 pounds. And then I got celiac disease as a consequence. And I couldn't eat wheat. And that, you know, kind of a problem. And it also made me nauseous for 15 years. So for 15 years, I've been nauseous. And then I got Parkinson's to top it off. So I've had a few of those things. But I've experienced suffering other ways, too, because, you know, my mother is very ill, and she's suffering tremendously. And I suffer when I go watch her and visit with her. And a lot of you are that. Other people suffer, you suffer. And so that's my story. And so here I am 6 years into this, doing this, I guess, which I never expected to do.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Paul, because just based on the conversation that we had during the break, you were out there working on your deck over the course of the weekend. And so obviously your functionality is remaining very much intact. And even talking with you on the phone, often with Parkinson's disease, the vocal cords are affected and it makes, you know, articulation very hard oftentimes. But you seem to have lost very little in terms of capacity here. And I think it's because God wants you to get this message out. I think it's because he wants to continue to use you as an instrument to give people hope in some of the most dire of circumstances. And you point out something very real and true in just giving us that little bit of your testimony. And that is that suffering doesn't necessarily simply mean physical suffering. It can be emotional suffering. It can be mental suffering. It can be spiritual suffering. It can be suffering through compassion, as you mentioned, watching your mother, how painful that is to love somebody so very much and watch them ailing, or even, you know, the kind of sympathetic suffering that comes from seeing someone that we don't know so well going through a trauma, going through a difficult time or a difficult circumstance or a difficult illness or setback. So suffering is going to greet all of us. And I think that, you know, we oftentimes look at it and we ball up our fist and we rail at God and we say, why would you let this happen to me? And that is a very useless question, because the why, I think, is contained right within the title of your book. And the why is contained right there in the pages of sacred scripture. Nothing good comes but by way of the cross. Salvation comes by way of the cross. And even in our personal lives, spiritual growth, grace comes by way of the cross. So God wants to perfect us through the suffering that we experience. The thing is to remember that and to know how to use that suffering for our greatest benefit and how to use it as really a pathway that leads us into a deeper union with God. So share with us a little bit about how that can be done.
Well, the first thing to recognize is that suffering is an evil detector. It's not evil, it's an evil detector. What that means is that it's a sensation. It's what you feel when evil is threatening you. God gives you that capability, and that's a great grace, because if you didn't know what was threatening you, you'd never know what to do, what was good, what was bad. And it comes in four tasks. The four tasks. The first task is teaching you how to do self-love. And it does that by building the virtues. For instance, if you are eating too much, you'll feel sick. You'll stop doing that. That'll teach you temperance. If you are not working hard, you won't get things done, and you learn the benefit of fortitude. And so it goes with all the virtues. And then the second task brings you closer to God. And that can happen either in one of two ways. It can be happened as a continuation of the first task, where you see that what's good is good for you, and you start looking for the source of it, and that's God. Or you could be like St. Paul, who has to be knocked off his horse and blinded to see the light. And sometimes that's the kind of suffering that you get, is very severe suffering that you can't do anything about, and you have to turn to God because there's nobody else. Then once you get to that point, you start loving your neighbor, and that's unleashing love, as John Paul II said. And then the final step, the final way of great love is redemptive love, which is where you willingly suffer for the benefit of others, just as Jesus willingly suffered for the benefit of us. And so it teaches all that. So suffering teaches all that, and it brings you to God, because it was forecast bringing salvation from sin to salvation.
You know, as you're sharing with me, you know, and all of us listening today, there's that great reality of the fact that our attitude has a lot to do with the way in which we receive the grace that God is desiring we receive through the suffering that we're enduring. And I always like to use the example and the illustration of a bottle of water. I mean, the grace is there objectively. You know, you can hold a bottle of water up in front of you and you can say, oh, I'm really thirsty and here's that water. and it exists and I see it. It's right there. And that's kind of like the grace that's contained within the context of suffering. But like with the water, in order for our thirst to be quenched, we have to open up that bottle of water and we have to drink of it. And it's very similar to what we have to do with the suffering. We've got to see that the suffering is there. We've got to acknowledge that this God, no matter what the trial is, always gives us a way out. He promises us that in sacred scripture. And so we know that the grace is there for us to be able to apply to that which we're going through to the greatest ultimate good that we can have. And that's that movement from salvation to redemption, but not just our redemption, but the redemption of others, as you so clearly stated for us in that fourth step. But we've got to then, just like opening that bottle and drinking the water, we have got to enter into that suffering with that disposition of heart and drink from the well of grace that God has contained for us in that suffering. And that can be a hard transfer, you know, oftentimes, because we're caught off guard by the suffering, and or, you know, we take it very personally, or we look at it and think that, you know, why do these things always happen to me? So how do we move from that, you know, that maybe self-centered disposition of heart with regard to the suffering to an openness to the other, both small O, meaning our neighbor, and then capital O, meaning God?
Well, the thing about it is, suffering is not something you can avoid. It's not something that you can beat. It's something that you have to heed, and that goes along with what you were just saying. So the whole point of it is, you got to figure out what the message is, and the only way you can do that is to put yourself in the mind of God and seeing things from God's perspective about what will lead you to salvation. You'll never see this. You'll never understand this if you're thinking about temporal goals. Because suffering is pushing you away from the temporal toward the spiritual. And so that's the thing that makes it so hard for people, is that if they're stuck in a secular position and all they think about is comfort and avoiding pain, suffering's going to seem awful to you because it does exactly the opposite. But that's the point of it, is pushing you away from that. And at some point you're going to recognize that you can't avoid it, and that you have to deal with it. And, you know, sometimes it's recognizing that what you've been holding on to is bad for you. You know, it can be a bad relationship. It can be a job that's not good for you. It can be that your goals are poor. You know, if all you're looking for is fame, you know, you're not going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied with the temporal goal. And so it puts you to think about more spiritual goals. And once you get to that point, you start figuring out what the problem is. But you have to get to that step.
Yeah, you know, and rephrasing of questions, you know, I think, too, will help us to do that. And that's exactly what you're pointing toward here and what you're saying. You know, the question shouldn't be, why me, God? But the question should be, what are you trying to show me, Lord? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? What virtue do you want me to practice in the midst of this? And I think that we can put ourselves into a type of boot camp where, you know, just with the little reversals that we experience in everyday life, we begin to make a practice of asking one or all of those three questions that I just put out there, to begin to mine the treasure that is there in that reversal, you know, flat tire on your car, for example, can be an opportunity for you to say, okay, Lord, you know, what virtue are you trying to teach me in this? Well, it might very well be patience, you know,
yeah,
might
right.
very well be long suffering, right? And he's giving us the opportunity to do that. So Yeah, you know, but Lord, you know, this flat tire is going to make me late for a very important appointment. Okay, so, you know, it's going to teach you a little bit of humility too. So if we begin to train our minds in that way, then we're opening a door of our heart where we can begin to receive the glory of God and later go back and thank Him for the very thing that we thought was the worst thing that could possibly happen to us. And I think that applies the whole way through, from something like a flat tire to a diagnosis of Parkinson's, to a diagnosis of some other kind of an illness, to you know, the ultimate pain and suffering that we experience in the loss of a loved one, you know, or the impending doom of our own death. So, you know, all of these things, I think, begin to open doors to us. And I know that for many of you, you're going through your mind right now, and you've got questions for Dr. Paul. He is here for you. Let me give you that number to use. It's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN is a toll-free number for you, inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call. Our phone lines are ringing, and we've got a caller here and there, so we do invite you to stay with us. We're going to be taking the calls when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. Again, it's 833-288-EWTN. Additionally, do want to remind you that we're available for you out there in social media land. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is there. Use the chat feature. We'll get your question up on the board. We can address it. The book that we're talking about today is written by our guest, Dr. Paul Chaloux, Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. It's item number 4214 at Religious Catalog. Go to EWTNRC.com and order it, 4214, Why All People Suffer. Dr. Paul Chaloux's book is there for you. Going to that break, we're going to be right back on the other side of it to continue our discussion with Dr. Paul and also to take your calls, 833-288-EWTN.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. We are visiting with our guest today, Dr. Paul Chaloux. He is the author of the book, Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. It's available for you at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. I love to call it the home of holy reminders in memory of Mother Angelica. The item number for Dr. Paul's book is item number 4214. That's item number 4214. It is a great book on suffering. It helps for us to understand it and brings, you know, many new insights and perspectives to it. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoyed having the opportunity to read your book, Dr. Paul, and to interview you for television on that. The DVDs of that program are available for you at EWTN's religious catalog as well. We're inviting you to call us with any questions that you might have on suffering or for prayer for what is going on in your life right now. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Dr. Paul, we have David calling us from Cleveland, Ohio today. We're going to take his call, and friends, we want to take yours too. 833-288-EWTN. Pick up the phone, give us a call. I know you're going to like it. Just give it a try. Hey, David, welcome today to Women of Grace Live.
Yes, yes, good morning. First of all, I need a prayer for a complete healing of my leg ulcer, and I also need to know due to my chronic leg ulcer, I've been on leave of absence from my employer for the past 4 months. So I'm finding out what the virtue God is showing me, and how do I overcome this leave of absence without it without it making me very uncomfortable to get through it to stay with flying colors.
Okay, David. Well, let's start with the prayer, and then I'm going to let Dr. Paul talk with you about some of the questions that you raised there, and we might have one or two for you in the midst of that. So, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and we lift up to you your son, David, and you hear the plea of his heart, and you tell us in sacred scripture that we are to make our supplication known to you, that we're to come to you with all of our cares and all of our concerns and all of our worries, that there's nothing too little for us to present to you and nothing too great for us to present to you. And so it is with full confidence and trust that David makes his plea known to you this day, Lord. And it is in union with him doing so that we raise this prayer to you, asking you to hear and to answer him. Father, we would ask that you would heal this leg completely and totally. And if you determine to do this by use of doctors as your instruments, then we pray that you give them the wisdom that they need to be able to adequately prescribe that which it is that he needs to do and use the proper medications and the proper resources that are available to him for a complete and total healing. Father, your son has been away from his place of employment for 4 months now, and this is weighing heavily upon him. And this causes another kind of suffering. It brings it to us in the form of a type of anxiety and a type of worry. You tell us, Lord, to take all of our worries and to put them at the foot of the cross of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do that now with David in placing all of this before you. And we know that that most precious blood of your son is the answer to everything, that there is nothing greater for us than to be able to make use of the redemptive grace that he offers us through his own passion, his own death, and his own resurrection. And so it is, Father, that we bring David to you, his cares, his concerns, asking for healing the whole way around. And we pray this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. So, David, it sounds as though, thank you, it sounds as though you've been away from this, your position for a while. And so one question I ask is, does your chronic leg sore keep you away from your place of employment, and can you work from home?
Well, I would stay with the position that I have. I'm always in contact with water, so that's instructions. In all the healing instructions to keep it dry so that the wound can heal itself and not get it wet.
Okay.
I guess they call that a restriction, yeah.
Okay, good. So, Paul, what do you say to David?
Well, David, you know, I can't tell you exactly what your problem, what the cause of your problem is, but I can tell you the following, that there are tools that you can think about that will help you get your answer. The first thing is it may be the reason that you're having this suffering may be because, well, it sounds like your job exasperates it because you're wet and it causes it to have problems. Is that correct?
What was that word again? I missed it.
Is your chronic pain caused by your work?
No.
But it's exasperated by it. So if you go back to work, it hurts you, right?
I guess so that I won't get it wet and that I think that's that might be number one a reason. Boyle wants me to take a leave of absence, so I'm completely healed.
Well, it sounds to me like God wants you to take a leave of absence for some reason. And what would that reason be?
Well,
the
wet environment that he works in.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the physical wet environment. Why that's the case? My take is my question is more. Is there something you should be doing during that break that you wouldn't be able to do while you were doing the break?
No, they didn't have anything, no.
I don't mean from work perspective. I mean from other perspectives. I mean, would it be time to study or time to do something else, some time to catch up on your faith, time to go to daily mass, time to do something else with your life? Sometimes this is repointing you.
Yes, I went to church's Bible study, and I've been attending the mass and the reconciliation, and I also asked for healing of anointing of the sick.
Well, see, there you go. See, so he's driving you toward the spiritual, like by taking away the material for a little while. And it sounds like you're going to be able to get back to it eventually. But maybe you also find a different job too. That he's pointing you to that side. Everything God does everything out of love, and it's always trying to teach you to love some better. So when we have these suffering situations, we need to think about how can we love better? How will this make us love better? And you know, it sounds to me like you're getting a little closer to your faith with this break, and that's good. You're talking on EWTN, right? Which you probably wouldn't have done if you didn't have this situation.
I think one of the things that you're pointing to here, Dr. Paul, and something, David, that I think that you're already employing just based on what you said, is that when these interruptions happen in our lives, you know, sometimes God permits them so that we can refocus. And here I'm thinking of a great saint. I'm thinking of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. And though he didn't have an ulcerated leg, he also had a leg injury. And he, if you know his biography at all, his history, you know, he was a great soldier. He enjoyed being a member of the court and participating in all of those kinds of activities. He was kind of a romantic guy, so he enjoyed being around the ladies quite a bit. And when he was in a battle, he took a cannonball to his one leg, and this disabled him, and he had a surgery, and the surgery turned out poorly, and we can only imagine what that kind of a surgery would have been back in his era. And they had to redo the leg, and he did gain use of that leg again, but certainly not in a manner that was without pain, one that kept him away from going back to the life that he had had before. And during his convalescence, he read a book on the life of Christ. And in reading this book on the life of Christ, he had this dramatic conversion experience, which led him then to pursue a whole different course of action, basically becoming a beggar and then starting the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. So, you know, I see there might be a parallel there for you during this time where you're laid up. And I think that this is what you were getting at, Paul, is that, you know, it's an opportunity for you. Okay, Lord, well, you know, I can't go back to work right now. I'm, you know, on a leave of absence. Hopefully that's providing you with some income, David. And so now I can dig more deeply into my faith. I can see, what are you saying to me in this? Why have you permitted this to happen? Seeking after the heart of the Lord in the midst of it makes this time a fertile time, as opposed to a fallow time. So, honey, I think that the advice that you've been given, as well as the course of action that you're taking, is exactly what you should be doing. Now, finding peace with that is something else. So, Paul, how do we find peace when even when we're doing these things, you know, and we're recognizing the change that we're going through right now? Sometimes change can be a little scary.
Well, it's always scary, But St. Catherine of Siena said that to all those people that are complaining about, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but to all those people that are complaining about what's happening to them, keep in mind that God, everything that God does is for a purpose, and it's to bring you to heaven. And so keep that in mind. And the thing is, you can see this. If you can start seeing this in yourself. You can start seeing that the joy that spiritual attainment gets you is far more than the joy of anything else that on earth can get you. So you can start experiencing joy when you start seeing that the reason for this is not a punishment. It's God reaching out to you.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, and I want to say this to David. I hear in David a man that's sincerely seeking. And so he's looking for those greater answers that have come to him wrapped up in the packaging of this suffering. Suffering in and of itself has no merit, has no good in it. Suffering is the absence of a good. But that conversely, God can take that suffering, it says in Romans 8:28, and he can work it to the good. And so God takes that suffering and he fills it with good. And that's the blessing and the benefit that can come, from it. And as you shared with us, you know, there are basically four reasons for suffering. One is to distance us from, a narcissistic perspective of the world. The other one is to draw us closer to God in this purgation of that self-love, if you will. The other then is in loving God to be able to extend love to our neighbor and ultimately this redemptive love that you talk with us about. And that's the process of perfecting. So that's why oftentimes God permits us to suffer so that we can be perfected, so that we can become more like him in every way. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us today. We're inviting you to pick up the phone and to give us a call. If you're not able to do that, you can still communicate with us through our chat features at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So we invite you to use that feature there too. We are eager to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. David's other question there, Paul, was that, how do I not take this personally? And in a certain sense, we should take suffering personally, but
yeah,
not
absolutely.
From a negative perspective, right? Go ahead, share with us.
I was actually going to say that you should take it personally because God is reaching out to you personally by doing this. You may not recognize why yet, but it'll come to you. You'll see the light eventually. It'll maybe a little ways down the line when things work out, But by the way, the suffering may not be for your benefit. It may be for the benefit of somebody else that sees it and is inspired by it. That can be a component of it as well. If you recognize that.
Yeah, and you just took the words out of my mouth because I was going to say suffering, God works for the benefit of all. He works not just for the benefit of the one. He works for the benefit of the one. But, because this God is an omniscient God and he loves each one of us completely and totally, he knows all things. And so there's a way within our own suffering that God is using the suffering to be a source of growth in virtue and a growth of perfection in other people around us. So when we are ill and when we are struggling physically or if we're going through an emotional difficulty, it allows people to act with compassion. It allows them to act with love. Oftentimes, it requires from them humility, even as it requires from us humility. So there's the virtues. But it also then permits for us to have this opportunity to experience the profound way in which God calls us to be that person, to operate as an angel of mercy, right? To participate in God's mercy and love for the other.
Right, and so people like David who are ill and are hurting are opportunities for other people to step up and help them, and if he recognizes that somebody's getting spiritual benefit by helping him, that's spiritual benefit to him. So there's force on many levels.
Well, it does work on many levels. And what we do have to remember, I like what you said at the early part of our conversation here, that it's not just the temporal. Ultimately, God is drawing our eye toward the eternal. So every time we suffer an illness, from the common cold, to a more serious illness, it's an opportunity for us to take our eye, off of the temporal and look toward the eternal. Ultimately, we're all going to have that last breath. We're all going to have this movement from the temporal to the eternal on a permanent basis, right? So every time there's a reversal, no matter which way that suffering presents itself, it's an opportunity for us to begin that process of distancing, from a process of, taking our eyes off of what's going on immediately and focusing them in some deeper way on what God is about in our lives.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So share with us now, in your own sufferings, how did you begin to make that transition?
Make the transition to joy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the first part of my suffering, before I ever got to the studying part, it just was a part of what I was doing, and it just something that existed. Mm-hmm. But as I've gotten further along and I've understood what this is doing, you know, I started to feel like, you know, this is part of what I have to do to, you know, for God, is part of the plan. And I kind of recognize that this plan for me has been going on for a while, you know, long before this thing started in 2015. You know, for my whole life I've been in the presence of this. And for generations before me too. So you know, I recognize that it's for the glory of God, and I just accept that. And it can be hard sometimes. And it can be hard sometimes. Like yesterday, it's very hard.
Yeah, well, you know, it would be, because I mean, we get frustrated, and you know, we get tired of the difficulty. We look for that place of respite. And I think that that's true in any suffering. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to find it. He certainly does. And he brings it to us. But there is that sharpening of perspective that allows for us to see God working in the midst of everything, working through all things. And so I think that we find peace a whole lot faster when we participate in that process, right? When we participate in the seeking of what is the Lord doing, rather than standing back and holding on to the angst and the misery of the situation.
Right, and that's the point. The whole thing about it is how you think about this. Because how you think about it makes all the difference in the world. Because you can feel joy if you understand what's going on. If you don't understand what's going on, you're just going to feel miserable. And you know, a lot of people leave the faith because they say, well, why would God allow this? And what I'm trying to do is help people see that this is to that benefit, to bring him back, mm-hmm. and that it works in that way. You know, in the Catechism it says that many times when people are sick, they come back to God, they seek God, and they come back, and it's true. You see it in lots of people's lives. It's not true for everybody, but it's true for a lot of people. We all have free will, so you know, there's choices to be made, but.
Yeah, there's a beautiful passage, and I really do refer to this passage quite frequently, and it's in Philippians, and it's in chapter 4, and it's at verse 8. And I want to remind us of the verse that's in Romans 12, verse 2, where we're called by St. Paul to renew our minds, right? He says, do not be conformed to this age, but rather be transformed by a renewal of your mind so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. And so we say, well, how do we do that process? How do we change our mind? How do we change our disposition? How do we move from a very natural outlook to a supernatural one? And I think Paul gives us the answer in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, you know, our mind is renewed as we put into our mind all of the reasons why we can be grateful to God. That's not to discount the fact that we are in misery, we are in pain, we are in suffering, but it is to say that in the midst of that, God is with us. So where is he, and how do I see it? What is pure about this? What is honorable about this? What is true about this? You know, what is worthy of praise? Well, the fact is I still have life in my body. That means that I still can move forward. It means that I still have opportunity to speak with God and to speak with others about God. You know, it's in these ways, I think, that we begin to make that transition from this kind of natural perspective or negative worldview, even sometimes, to a very positive and very profitable, spiritually profitable one in the Lord. So just some thoughts to think about as we approach a very difficult topic, but not one that he doesn't want us to consider. Here's this from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So how is it that God wants us to express these beautiful virtues in the midst of our suffering? But how does he want us to appropriate those virtues when we're taking care of someone who is suffering? So there you have it. Well, Dr. Paul Chaloux, so happy that you were able to be with us today. Thank you very, very much. We want to send you, friends, out to EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com, the home of Holy Reminders. Dr. Paul Chaloux's book is available for you there. It's item 4214, Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Perfect Us. I know it's going to be very insightful for you. It certainly was insightful for me. Want to remind you about our upcoming Women of Grace event there in San Antonio at Our Lady of the Atonement Catholic Church. We're inviting you to check it out on our website, womenofgrace.com. If you need some financial assistance, call us at 800-558-5452. Talk with Joanne Kane. She'll give you all of the information. It's been great being with you today, Dr. Paul Chaloux. Thank you very much, friends. Live that abundant life in Jesus Christ. God bless you now. Bye-bye.